Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me now, my great friend, Chris Dempsey from Altitude TV. Chris, we're a great friend status now, right? That is confirmed. True?
That is most certainly confirmed. We are great friends.
I just want to make sure. I get needy. I got to check once in a while, so we got to be sure. This was a tough one, speaking of great friends. I mean, Chris, with the news about Tim Connelly and everything going forward, I know this is a hard one for the Nuggets organization, for Nuggets fans. But, Chris, how much can you talk to us about this? Because the reports I'm reading are that the Kroenkes, the Nuggets, did make maybe a really good counteroffer. But at the end of the day, equity and ownership, that's hard to beat.
Yeah, it is. And so is $8 million. I mean, that's, per year. I mean, that's a... You know, it's putting him in rarefied air in terms of financial compensation for executives in this league. And, it's hard to match that. I mean, how can you it's hard to fault the Nuggets for not being able to rise to that particular level. And so but it gives you an idea of just how well thought of Tim Connelly has been. And look, this is obviously not the first time another franchise has come in and tried to blow him away with a big financial package. And so, sooner or later, the numbers might get too big for some teams, and for the Nuggets, it's too bad because Tim Connelly, obviously, the Nuggets as we know them today, the franchise as it is run, as it is thought of league-wide today, it has everything to do, the majority to do with how Tim has come in and reshaped it in all the different areas. And so this is it's a really big loss for them. And boy, he went to the division rival too, so that's a bitter pill to swallow as well. But for the Nuggets, it's hard. It's hard to fault them for not being able to come up to $40 million over 5 years plus an ownership stake.
Chris, do you know what the Nuggets were prepared to offer? Do you have that number?
I don't have that number. I don't have that number.
All I read was that it would have been up there within the top five or so. I mean, and I don't even know if that's true, but it looked like it was at least a competitive offer. But like you said, it's hard to get to that point plus the ownership thing. It's next to impossible.
Yeah, it really is. And think about the last two executives that have left the Nuggets organization. It's been because the packages overall have just been really overwhelming. And so Masai Ujiri, prior to Tim Connelly, left with Toronto Raptors. And, that package in Toronto was not only just a lot of money, period, but then, had incentives in terms of helping his Basketball Without Borders in Africa and some of the other charitable ventures that he was into as well. And then with Tim Connelly, obviously the ownership stake. So these packages, these teams are understanding that maybe getting an individual from a different franchise to your franchise is a little bit more than just the compensation, the financial compensation itself. It's what can you do to help serve this individual in some of the other ventures that they're into, or how can you help elevate them to a higher standing within your organization than maybe they had in the previous organization as well. So it's very creative. These are big time packages, and Tim Connelly, it's very difficult for him to have to say goodbye to the Nuggets.
Yeah, it had to be tough, as we've talked about, and you know this better than most, how much he loved the area, loved the team, loved these players and Coach Malone and everybody involved. And again, I know the players were close. I just saw Bones Highland tweet out something like, damn, a little something as small as that, they take to Twitter and they like the guy. So it's going to be very difficult here. However, Chris, and I got to thank you for this. You introduced me in person to this man a few years ago, Calvin Booth, who yeah. I feel like they've been grooming for just this thing. I mean, it seems like it makes perfect sense for him to just jump right into this thing. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of challenges ahead for him. But that's where we're looking, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I would be surprised if he's not named as the new general manager or president of basketball operation, whatever the title they want to give him, running the show as a basketball personnel guy. So, part of the reason he is here, he's very well thought of as a young executive, kind of coming up in executive circles and what he would be able to do, and then. To be able to learn and be active, not just a guy who's kind of sitting and watching, but to be very active within the organization as the general manager here with the Nuggets under Tim Connelly. I'm sure many lessons were learned, and I would expect that he will do a fine job in that position. I think the question really is, is his relationships with Coach Malone and how will he run an organization now differently than Tim Connelly will have run it? What's the culture going to look like under Calvin Booth? Is he going to just leave everything the same? Is he going to try to put his own stamp on it? Like, those behind the scenes questions are really big. And then I think if you're a fan, you certainly hope that the draft success remains at a very high level, under Calvin Booth, and the standing of the Nuggets in terms of the respect level across the league. You hope that continues to remain really high. So, I think the questions about Calvin Booth and how he'll run it, and those are all kind of within the office and within the culture of how things are being run in this franchise, more so than the actual on-court products, just because, especially in these next couple of years, there's so many contracts that are already locked in. There's not many decisions to be made in that aspect anyway. So, he can kind of dive into continuing the culture the way it is or putting kind of a new stamp on things to run them the way he wants them run.
That's a great point by you, because I mean, when you look at the Nuggets contracts, you have your main guys figured out for a while, and obviously is there going to be guys moved, whatever, but the guys that you really feel like are going to be the foundational pieces to this hopeful championship run at some point, or at least conference finals run, are there. So that's a great point. You can kind of coast a little bit. I wonder if, quick great move for Calvin Booth. Just go get that deal done with Nikola Jokic real fast, and then boom, we'd go, wow, he did it. How did he do that? It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's going to be the easiest deal that he'll ever do. That's just here's the check, and right. There's all the zeros, and so here you go.
Sign here. I'll put my finger on there, right where that line is. Just sign there.
Exactly. I think for him, though, I tell you what, it's the blessing for him is that he's taking over a franchise that, when healthy, fully expects to make a run at the NBA Finals. So he's got that type of team already under him. Now, what his challenge will be is making financial pieces fit around those core players that you were just talking about. I mean, because once Nikola gets his supermax, between Nikola, Michael Porter Jr., and Jamal Murray, I think that's going to be almost $90 million per year in salaries just for those three players. I haven't even mentioned Aaron Gordon. And so if you lump in his salary, that's over $100 million per year for those four players. And those four contracts will at least take you out another three to four years. So how do you complement those players while still remaining financially fiscal is going to be a great challenge. We saw the Lakers fail at that, right? Around LeBron James and Anthony Davis, they were not able to put together, and Russell Westbrook, they weren't able to put together enough high-level players because the dollars were too big. They would have gone too far into luxury tax to be able to do that. And so for the Nuggets, for Calvin Booth, that's going to be his first real stressor as lead executive is how to make those numbers work.
Yeah, no question about it. That's what's going to be. I mean, I'm looking at some of the contracts, Chris, just around the rest of the NBA, thinking about teams that are going to be in the Nuggets' way for the next few years. I mean, even Golden State, they're going to have, not next year as much, but in 2 years, they're going to have some decisions to make. I mean, ultimately, can you have Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, and Jordan Poole on the same team? Those are all things that I wonder about, too, which makes that a very difficult job for any manager. So obviously, Calvin Booth will have that to sort through.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, fortunately for Golden State, and I don't know where Jordan Poole is in terms of his rookie scale contract. But you know, they might be able to hold off on him for maybe another season before they have to really pay him. I don't know. I think that's the case with Jordan Poole.
Yeah, right. He has a team option for next season. So,
okay. So yeah. No, they're gonna have to take care of him.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you know, what you hope is that you can find young players that can really significantly impact your team on those rookie scale contracts. When you have max contracts to that degree, and I think only maybe four teams in the NBA have three max contracts and the Nuggets are one of them. So that's it's a big deal. It means a lot of money and wrapped up in a few players. And so you need young players to show up big, and to be able to take some of that financial burden off. Otherwise, I don't know where you go in a league where I think a lot of teams are starting to pay their players earlier. And then if it doesn't work out, trade those contracts. But those contracts are still sizable contracts you have to be able to take on. So for the Nuggets, Bones Highland, Zeke Nnaji, you know, do they elevate Davon Reed? Does Marcus Howard play a role? You know, these players will have to figure in, I think, to a very high level for them to remain you know, a high-level basketball team, but to do so without breaking the bank.
Yeah, no question about it. Chris, before I let you go, can you give me four, the priority list for Calvin Booth right now. Give me the top four things that you think, okay, number one priority, you got to get this done, you got to take care of this. Do you have four off the top of your mind that you can give us?
Well, first of all, you guys got to get Nikola Jokic done. So I think that's priority number one. I think that will be his top priority. So get the Nikola Jokic contract done and signed and sealed. And so you start there. And then I think the next thing for him is going to be how he structures his front office. Are there individuals that go with Tim Connelly to Minnesota? And if there are, how are you replacing them? You know, I think that his next questions are internal. That would be the second thing. Michael Malone will handle the coaching staff hire. You know, Jordy Fernandez is going to leave and go to Sacramento to be an associate head coach under Mike Brown in Sacramento. And so, you know, Michael Malone will figure out who he wants to replace him, and they'll just hire that individual. So Calvin doesn't have to worry about that. And then getting back to the basketball team, you know, how do you how's that second unit going to work? What happens with DeMarcus Cousins, to Michael Green, if he opts out of the contract, Facu Campazzo, Austin Rivers, you know, these players that have their contracts either up or a player option that they might opt out of, you know, who do you bring back? What numbers do you bring them back? Or do you elevate somebody else on the squad?
Yeah, well, it's got his work cut out for him for sure. But like you said, there's a lot of positives there. Tim Connelly being as good as he was really did set up a really good situation here. So we'll see, man. Some fun stuff to cover, and I know Chris we'll try to get back to you. I want to try to catch up next week too to break into some more NBA draft. Also, you know, let's take a look next week if you have the time at the teams that we see in front of the Nuggets for the foreseeable future. The teams that they're going to be trying to figure. Obviously, Golden State's number one, but who's going to be standing in their way for the next couple of years while we're in that Nikola Jokic hopeful championship window?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you look at I'm watching the playoffs this year, and as great as Golden State is, and they are just clearly dispatching of the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, Dallas looks worse than Denver did.
Right.
Against Golden State. And so, But what that, I think, underscores to me and the fragility of these teams, you know, Phoenix won, what, 64 games and couldn't even get out of the second round. It's that, you know, if you're bringing a healthy team to the table, like the Nuggets are right there. I think the Nuggets and the Clippers have to be thinking, wow, we can get right to the NBA Finals next year. You know, just and so, you know, it is right there for them. This is Nikola Jokic's window, and it is the Nuggets' window. It is open. If they can remain healthy, we're seeing health have a great impact in these series that we're watching here in the NBA's Final Four. And so, you know, I think it's a bright future. I think it's a hopeful future, and I think the Nuggets figure right into contender status with Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. on the court right beside Nikola Jokic. And so, yeah, I think they can get there right as quickly as next season. You know, I think the question for the Nuggets is how can you sustain this window? Can you keep that window open for long enough to be able to, let's say, get to the Western Conference Finals next year, but maybe lose in the Western Conference Finals, and then boom, but the next year you're in the NBA Finals. You know, is your window, how do you keep that window open long enough to be able to get that job done?
Yeah, that's the question, right? How can you open that window even wider, so to speak? Chris, always appreciate you, my man. And I'll be reaching out next week. We'll see what works for you. But let's get into some draft talk. Let's see what Calvin Booth's made of in that draft. You mentioned it. The draft, no matter where the Nuggets have been, has been pretty good for them over the last few years. So let's see if we can keep that rock and rolling. We'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
All right, sounds good, man.
All right, Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV. I mean, yeah, the draft, I know we got a break here. Bones, just first round alone. Bones Highland, we know that's pretty good so far. Zeke Nagy, injuries kind of hurt him. MPJ, well, pretty damn hopeful there. Donovan Mitchell was traded. Don't get me started there. Jamal Murray, 2016. I mean, let's go over all that. Tim Connelly was great. Can Calvin Booth step right in, though, where Conley left off? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Allo Communications Studios. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.